Welcome to the Conversations About Light podcast, a King's Cross podcast illuminating our desire to engage in light-hearted conversations that are grounded in Scripture. Our hope is that through these conversations, our community will be encouraged and grow in their curiosity about light.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Conversations About Light. I'm Caleb, I'm your host, and I'm joined here with Josh and Mark on this fine morning.
Morning, Caleb.
Oh, good morning to you too. I believe this is the last Conversations About Light within the series we're going through, Jesus and Luke. Is that correct?
That is correct. The last one. Not the penultimate, but the ultimate.
Yeah, I should stop asking closed-ended questions.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I thought for this week's question, maybe we can reflect upon going through the podcast and the series. Have there been any highlights or any challenges, things that you've enjoyed or things that Jesus has illuminated in your heart?
Yes.
Great, very good. You, Josh?
Also, yes. I think the series has been great to just dwell upon Jesus and his ministry, his teaching, but also obviously the last week in the crucifixion and resurrection. But I found it freshly approaching those, particularly those teaching sections in the middle, was challenging again. You know, how Jesus deals with money, with our hearts, with everything. It was just challenging and refreshing. It's been beautiful. It's been a great series.
Yeah, I think Josh says it well. I felt personally challenged a lot through it. They do say that if you're preaching something, you shouldn't preach anything that's not practical in your own life. In this series, there's definitely been many times where I've felt like I've preached with personal conviction, and I've been able to say something like, if this is for no one else, it's for myself. Mm. So that's been great. And I think just a general love for God's people. We've been in Luke for a year or two, and I think what, you know, the fruit of it has created this general love for God's people. They're very precious, they're very wonderful. I feel far more grateful for the church at the end of Jesus in Luke series than before. And I'm not sure why that is, but I suspect that when you're just sitting at Jesus' feet, you end up loving the people he loves.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I've loved it as well, and just being amazed by who Jesus is and how we can be challenged by him. Mm. And it's so safe. He's just such a safe, secure person. He's our savior. So
yeah,
it's been beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's been great just listening in on your guys' conversation as well. Let's have a crack at it one last time in Luke.
Let's do it.
Jump into the scripture.
Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53, the English Standard Version. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God.
Yeah, very exciting piece of scripture. So with that, what are you guys noticing in this text?
Yeah, I think a few things. I love the opening words there where Jesus says, peace to you. I think that's profound. The resurrected Jesus bringing peace to the disciples. Another thing which boggles my mind in this text is Jesus has flesh and bones. This is like the resurrected Jesus. I think I can understand, you know, if I was died and got resurrected, I'd have this body. But somehow Jesus, the Lord of glory, the God of the universe, still having a body, like how does that even work? Is he restricted to his body? He can't be. He's got like, again, just mystery. it's just so amazing that Jesus is in a body. That I don't know what the application to that is, but I'm just noticing and amazed by that. Again, Jesus talks about the scriptures and opens ours, and we'll maybe chat a little bit about that, but also the promise of the Holy Spirit coming, where Jesus kind of lands a text in this great promise, and Jesus' incredible summary at the end of almost the whole of life, the whole purpose of creation, and kind of in his summary statement is profound. And again, through all of it, still the tender heart of Jesus as he raises his hands and blesses the disciples as kind of last, well, I don't want to say last act on earth because he's still alive doing plenty of things all the time. But as he's ascending, just before he ascends, he raises and blesses the disciples. Just the tender heart of Jesus towards the disciples. Yeah, so those are some of the things just picking up early on. How about you, Mark?
Yeah, there's a few ways that this text is kind of a summary of the spiritual life. One of the ways is how he begins with the disciples and then how it ends. So it begins, as you said, Josh, with peace be with you. That's the heart of Jesus for us. Yeah. He wants us to have peace, shalom, with God. That's the very nature of his work, right? That's his heart of hearts is peace. But that's not always where we live. And if you look at the words that describe the disciples, while he wants peace for them, what do they experience? Startled, frightened, troubled, doubt, disbelieving.
I can relate.
Yeah, and me too. And maybe that's like one side of the Christian journey, even though Jesus wants us to have peace, and that's what he gives us with God. Yet we may still encounter being startled, frightened, troubled, doubt, disbelieving. And this is just how they think about Jesus. This isn't even how they think about the difficulties of life. So
we have more to say.
Yeah. And then on the other side, the story ends with words describing them saying they worshipped him with great joy in the temple, blessing God. Something's changed for them. And the Christian life, you know, in a nutshell, is moving from this place to that place, from the struggles, the difficulties, the fright, the disbelieving, the doubts, to great joy, worshiping God with others. And we maybe always, you know, it's not just a linear, it's a little bit to and fro and back and forth. Yeah. But the whole time, Jesus is saying, peace with you. So I love that about the text.
What does that saying of Jesus, peace to you, mean?
I think ultimately, that's the heart of, if you were to, you know, there's many ways to describe the heart of Jesus, and he does it himself. He calls himself gentle and lowly. I'm gentle and lowly of heart. But I think another way of describing what is on the heart of Jesus is his desire for us to have peace with God. That's the purpose for which he came. That's his mission. It defines him. And so very central to everything in the Christian life is reconciliation with God, peace with God. The sort of relationship he's looking for is a peace-filled one. And I love how Josh spoke about even the gracious hand of Jesus outstretched to bless his disciples. And for example, it says, while I was still with you, and then he unpacks the scripture. You know, the way that I go about that in my house is I don't say to my children, while I was still with you, I asked you to tidy your room this morning. I say more like, I've told you a million times, like, you need to tidy your room. Yeah. There's very little peace experienced, but Jesus, even in their doubts and disbelief and struggles and troubles, and he has to eat broiled fish in front of them to help them, he says, you know, these are the words I spoke while I was still with you. And then he unpacks the gospel again and helps them to understand it.
Yeah.
Incredibly, he doesn't only want peace, he doesn't only die for peace, he doesn't only proclaim peace, he imbibes it, he demonstrates it. That's what he does when he's in the room.
He brings it, right? Yeah. He is the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
I think it's profound what you were mentioning before we came on air about the sufficiency of God and the sufficiency of Jesus. When we ask the question, where could peace come from? What could ever give peace? Is there anything, you know, I think, like you're saying, if we look at our lives and describe, this is the description of troubled people seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
If we are troubled by our circumstance and our moments and our emotions and our interactions, where is peace? And the only sufficient peace bringer is the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And I love that kind of, I think this is depicting that and giving us a glimpse into the sufficiency of Jesus, like you described, because the end of this chapter is completely different to the beginning.
Yeah.
Something's happened. The Prince of Peace has himself appeared. I think also what you were saying about the scriptures, there's a little repeat here of the Emmaus Road story where Jesus appears. They are still troubled. It says they were disbelieving, and he says, put your hands on me, you know, see it, touch it, feed me some fish. Yeah. And they're still struggling in disbelief. And then it says he opens their minds to the scriptures, and then things begin to turn. It's like, you know, and I find that, again, amazing that the resurrected Jesus, kind of, they were still a little perplexed, wondering what's going on. And yet once they know the scriptures, there's kind of this seems to be this kind of, like on the road to Emmaus, their hearts have burned, there's changed it. They're running back to Jerusalem in that text. Here they kind of seem to be coming to peace, and things turn around from that moment, you know, as they've been open to understanding the scriptures.
Very good. It does create a longing, I think, in me, as you describe that, not to pray, kind of, Lord, if I could only touch your hand, Lord, if you could just show me your face, Lord, if you could just appear to me, which we all kind of pray in our doubts, as opposed to, Lord, if you could just help me understand the scriptures. Lord, if you could open my mind to see what you mean, what you're saying, how much more peace and faith comes by understanding the word of God, as opposed to kind of the ways we usually go about it. I think we discussed that in the last episode.
Yeah. How about the Jesus statement where he's saying, I'm sending you the promise of the Father. What do you notice there? What are you thinking about that? Like, I mean, that's a big statement if you think about it. The kind of ministry of Jesus is ending, and the promised Holy Spirit is on its way. It's coming.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And then, the promise of the Father, and then it says you'll be clothed with power.
Yeah.
That's what he'll do. He'll transform your lives. He'll make something of you that you can't make yourself. I think it was Michael Eaton who spoke a little bit around this, maybe to say it was better for Jesus to go and ascend into heaven, because at the time Jesus was the only one doing evangelism. And so wherever Jesus was, people could receive the gospel. But when the Holy Spirit came down and empowered the disciples and us today, evangelism is happening everywhere throughout the world. Wherever believers are, evangelism can happen. It's better, more fruitful, that Christ ascends into heaven and multiplies his ministry through the power of the Holy Spirit than to always remain with us. And I'm one of those who, I just want the teacher to give me the answer, you know, like, put your hand up. What is this? You know, tell me. And Jesus isn't one of those teachers. Jesus is more one of those teach a man to fish kind of teachers. I'll empower you with the Holy Spirit and you'll be able to do it. And collectively we'll achieve more for Christ. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, I think very much the same. You know, this is the promise of the Father that's coming to them. Jesus tells them, you know, in the other Gospels, to wait. And it's strange that he says it's better that, in another Gospel, it says better that I go. And that's what you're alluding to, right? So it's going to be better. And I think I'd almost want to disbelieve it. I'm like, surely if Jesus was sitting here next to me, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
And so if I'm to believe this, it's actually hugely encouraging that the gift of the Father to me in the Holy Spirit is as sufficient as if Jesus were right here himself, because the Holy Spirit is right here. Jesus said he'd be with you and he'd be in you. And that's amazingly, I think, encouraging. I think Jesus as we come to the end of this gospel, it's like there's setting up for what's about to happen. Jesus is now ascending. The earthly ministry of Jesus is finished. Mm. And there's a transformation happening in the disciples, and they're going to wait. And it's yeah, I get excited by that kind of promise.
Yeah.
And the whole sort of knowledge that God has gifted us, the Holy Spirit, to help us despite all our circumstances. And I think the kind of transformation we see here in the disciples is possible with us, that we can go from afraid, disappointed, troubled to joyful, hopeful.
Yeah.
And I think it's amazing.
I think Paul shows the outworking of that when he says something like, it would be better for me to go and be with the Lord. Truly, if you want to live your best life, it's not here. It's going to be with the Lord. But he goes, if I am to remain, well, that will mean fruitful service. So his assumption is the best place, like you said, Josh, is with the Lord.
Yeah.
That is sweet. But if we are to remain here, it's very good. The Holy Spirit will use us for fruitful ministry. And so in a sense, his words also help us understand what the purpose of our lives are. That we are here. And as you said earlier, Josh, in another way, this text shows us all of life in a nutshell. Yeah. That first comes the revelation of the scriptures. You must understand who Jesus is. You must hear the gospel. You must receive the gospel. That happens. Then we get called. Once we get saved, we get called to proclaim this gospel to others.
Yeah.
But in order to do that effectively, we need the Holy Spirit, and so we must be empowered. And so you've got this saved, called, empowered,
very
Christian life, all in a nutshell.
I love that summary. I mean, I might even just read it because it's so good. This is like Jesus' summary, right? You don't get better. My words are definitely less than this, so let's go with this. Jesus summarizing the entirety of life. You want to know what's going on planet Earth? Yeah, this is what Jesus says. This is what's going to happen. Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and on the third day he'd rise, or on the third day rise from the dead, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. This is the purpose of history. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. There is nothing higher going on the face of the earth than this gospel going out to all. This is the sort of dimension of creation, the purpose of history. Jesus summarizes like that. And nothing else. Do you want to go play football on the weekend? That'd be nice. But this, that lights up the universe. That lights up everything. And look what happens to the disciples afterwards. They're like, it says, he raises hands and bless them and he ascends. And what happens? They went and they worshipped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. So the result of this resurrected Jesus is a worshipping people who are gathered together. Is there anything else you could be involved with that's better than that? Is there anything more beautiful? Is there anything more purposeful on the face of the earth that you could give yourself to? Oh, no, this is a profound ending to this book. Yeah. And Acts is going to sort of tell us the story of the church, but wow, like look at the difference. You know, here he has a worshipping people who are gathered together, and it's just, I find it amazing.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I love the kind of that question of have you got anything better going on than this? Yeah. And I guess it's an honest question to ask ourselves as Christians, do we have something better going on? Jesus has invited us into what he's doing in history to proclaim the gospel, to be empowered by the Spirit. To gather with saints to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
This is the invitation that we call. Have I got something better going on? That I just don't know. And the part of the problem is that living this radical call out is actually quite normal.
Yeah.
It like happens around tables. If you read it, often Jesus opens their eyes around a meal.
Yeah.
Normal conversations. Mm-hmm. So it's not like it's this hyper. We're all going to hit the streets holding banners, turn or burn. Preach at Forest Chase. It's very normal day-to-day living out, explaining the scriptures, sharing the gospel, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, gathering to worship. But that's the best thing going on in this whole world.
Yeah. I'm so grateful to God for I have some sense of that, like great love for what he's doing and for the church. I just want to add, I don't think it's hard to... you don't want people to fake this. You can't fake this, right? It's like either this is the best thing or it's not. Like something else will be your best thing. You can't write it down as some kind of rule for people. Like it's when you encounter the risen Jesus, when something's going on, I feel it often in my heart. When people, do you want to do this or that? I'm like, honestly, sometimes I just glaze over. Like, I hope people don't notice, but they probably do. I'm like, nah, it's the sound of it. Because there's nothing, I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm just grateful that something in our heart sees that. And my desire would be that it's not a legalism thing, but imagine this text in your heart, in your belief. And I try and imagine it for myself, even like just reading it again now. I'm like, wow, will this text do something to our hearts in the sense of like, God, you are, and what you're doing is the best thing
wonderful
ever.
I love how that with great joy they worshiped God. So they're together. It was something of great joy. So it's like it can't be that legalism because legalism and joy don't seem to mix well.
Good. Preach, Caleb.
Just in landing this, I'm wondering if you guys are able to maybe give a thought or a closing question or even a practical application of how our community here at King's Cross can live in the normal. What does this scripture look like for us?
I think what's clear here is there's nothing about the disciples that makes them particularly qualified or likely to have this sort of experience of Jesus. And there's no one in King's Cross or any other church who is particularly qualified to be called by God, to understand the scriptures, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is all by the grace of Jesus. This is all because it's God's will. And so I guess for our church, I see, or I imagine, what would we be like if we submitted ourselves to God's will for us, which is far better than we can imagine, which is far more involved than we think. And yet most of the time, it's probably going to look far more normal than we would like. But the heroes of the kingdom are the ordinary saints who are glorifying God in ordinary ways throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month. And we're just clinging to the Lord. And so I guess that's my thought for us as a church. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, I think very much the same. What would it look like in King's Cross? Well, let's eat together. Let's open the scriptures. Let's let our hearts burn within us. Let's worship together. Let's gather together continually. Now, these are three or four things that are what I'm describing as normal, but profound and powerful, and it's easy to let them slip to an unprofound level. So my encouragement to us would be to be hold on to these things, eating together, fellowshipping, scriptures, worshipping, gathering, as the most profound things that you can do. That'd be amazing if we did that somewhere.
There's no underestimating that, Josh, where you think everything else, going to work, was always a thing since the beginning of creation. Naming things was always a thing. Enjoying relationships was always a thing. The only thing that was new to this world, which changed, was the people of God gathering to worship God when Jesus brought them together. The church is birthed at the cross of Christ. And so when you gather, whether in a community group or a Sunday service or with a friend on a walk on the beach, that is, I love what you're saying, because let's pause and remember that this is a miracle born out of the cross of Christ, and that our usual and normal gatherings are majestic and miraculous, and that the Holy Spirit wants to work through them to edify each other and to bring the lost to salvation.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more, head over to perthchurch.com.au, where you can find sermon resources that dive deeper into these conversations. If you found this conversation helpful, we would love you to leave a review and share it with your family.